When I planted my first church, I wished that I would have had this presentation, Church Planter Smart Wisdom. We're going to look in this presentation at this planter smart wisdom for how to sort of build that organization in that first elder deacon board. This presentation is helped by James Griffith and William Esom in their book, 10 Most Common Mistakes Made by Church Starts. Number one, act your age as a church. Church planting is real life drama that requires leaders in the church to act its age and size. Sure, they will be doing the right thing, but at the wrong time. Their impatience was leading them down a path that could only wind up in exhaustion and the loss of a great team of leaders. People can work 100 hours a week for just so long. Now, what is he talking about in this quote? What he's basically saying is sometimes a church will act like they're at 200 when they're at 50, offering too many programs. They're not ready to do that yet. The buzz of the church is lost in exhaustion. So act your age. At all times, make it be fun to be part of your new church plant. If you have too many programs, it won't be fun anymore. In a lot of ways, I always think about church planting as the church planter. You're, in a sense, the cruise director, to use the cruise idea, where you're making it fun to be on this ship. Or you're someone who, if the most enjoyable thing in life is to be part of planting a new church. You don't have all this existing structure and all this negative inertia. You're planting a new church. You know, I've often seen over my years in ministry how when pastors get together and some of them are talking about church planting, and then there's a sigh, oh, church planting. Church planting really burned me out. So much of it was because a church did not act its age. When you're new, you don't have to have a lot of programs to wow people, to make an impact in the community. So act your age as a church. Don't promise what you cannot deliver. Effective church planters don't begin ministries to please guests. It's better to just let them walk away than to overextend and burn out. It's also better than making promises you can't keep. Making promises you can't keep undermines your credibility over the long term. Again, I wish I would have known this in my first church plant. In the 1980s, when I planted my first church, there was all of these pre-done church planting scenarios and what you offered in a community. You did telemarketing and you promised this, and we had a program for that and a program for that. We did not have programs for this and that. It was the potential program for this. So here we are on the telephone saying that come to this church where you're going to get this program, and we didn't even have it. The best thing would have been is come to this church and be part of something special. And we don't even know what it is, but we're going to preach Christ. We're going to worship the Lord. See, these are the type of things that are very important when you plant a new church. In planting a new church, make sure that your life, the church planter's life in balance, is very much considered very important. The health of the church plant is in direct proportion to the health of the lead pastor and his or her family and the staff. If any aspect of their lives is out of balance, sooner or later it will show up in the church. If the planter is consistently pushing the leaders to expand beyond the age or size of the church, more than just physical exhaustion occurs. It's essential the church planter finds some balance in his or her life. You know, I look at my first church plant. I wish I would have had this presentation. I was so busy. I remember my daughter Brianna was just a little baby. And I think for like 6 months, I felt like I hardly saw her because my life was so caught up in the busyness of church planting. Here's another very important word of wisdom. Wait to formalize leadership. formalizing the leadership and the organization of the church too soon is dangerous. Whether it's bowing to the pressure by zealous supervisors, current unofficial leaders, personal insecurities, or personal experience with a previous church, the net effect is the same. A major sea change in the life of the church, and more importantly, redirecting youthful energies away from the mission to management. Either way, formalizing leadership too soon always hinders the growth of a plant. Again, I wish I would have known that, because even before we had the first worship service, we had a formal board. And many of the people who were asked to be on this board did not really buy the vision and the mission of the church and what it took to reach people in our neighborhood. And we had steering team wars and fights, and we were busy fighting about our disagreements rather than saying, what is it going to take? In a lot of ways, when you're a church planter, you are the elder or the deacon. You are the ministry leader. Yes, you have accountability. This accountability needs to be somewhere in there. But in a lot of ways, when you start out, you're not sure who the elders and deacons are really going to be in a church plant. It takes a little bit to find out. So maybe in the beginning, you and your spouse are the elders, the deacons, the leadership of the church. Maybe you have a supervisor, not at your church, but at your local church. Wait to formalize the leadership to find out who's really there and who's really on team with the mission of the church. You don't need to formalize ruling elders at first. Stage one is working the plan, the church planting plan. The real leaders cannot be identified right away. A case scenario that I experienced is I thought I had a leader, but after a few months after on the board, the leader didn't even believe in the direction, didn't even believe the style of music that we picked. That created all sorts of steering team wars. Do not rush to appoint ruling elders. Instead, appoint ministry deacons. The point being is, in a sense, see who's there. See where we're at. Let your elder cover be in the sending group to begin. Most churches have a sending group, whether it's the denomination, a mother church. Now, again, if you have the independent church planter pioneer, still try to have a sending group. Try to have a relationship in your ordination, maybe, that says that's where the authority, the biblical authority for the eldership comes from. Number five, start developing future elders, ruling elders right away. Now, when I say ruling, what do I mean by ruling? You know, when Genesis, man and women were called to rule over the earth, the fish of the seas and so forth. Ruling is like royalty. It's not this authority thing. It's about leading. So when ruling elder is like the bishops, the elders that make the decisions, the process. Ruling elder leaders must prove themselves. We read in 3 John 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Now, why did I quote this? Well, Diotrephes was somebody who was a leader in the local church, and he got into a position of leadership. And then what happened is his true heart came out. And what happened is he created all kinds of dissension. Now, I mentioned this for another reason. Here is the early church, and the apostles had leaders that didn't work out. You're going to have leaders that don't work out. And if a leader doesn't work out, don't feel bad. That happened even in the early church. ruling elders, the leaders, they must be vision supporters and the one who connects with your leadership. Philemon 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. There, the Apostle Paul felt the encouragement of leaders in the early church. And when he writes in Philemon, you get the sense that he's in partnership with his leaders. Our ruling elder leaders, they must be called to build the local church. 1 Thessalonians 1:4-5. For you know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. These are substantive leaders who really want to build the church. Must have the gift of leadership, not just management alone. And we read the qualification of elder in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 2. The ruling elder leaders avoid those with a chip on their shoulder about pastors, leaders, salaries, such. Avoid those who ask too randomly about this. 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. You know, I want to talk about this too. There are some leaders who just don't want their pastors to do well. And whether it's getting into salary discussions, you know, if you have leaders who basically want to sort of like keep you at the bivocational level or see how cheap they can get you by you working hard at another job, hey, if you're planting a church and that church is growing, your leaders ought to be saying things like, wow, someday we can give a beautiful salary to you so you can do the work, not thinking about other things. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to be this high-paid, highest-paid person in your community, but you will be receiving enough salary to lead you so that you can be one who leads your family, be one who maybe your spouse does not have to work if you have younger children. The point being is not to think of if the church plant does well that you're going to make a lot of money. We're not talking like that. We're talking if a leader doesn't want you to do well personally, that sort of leader maybe shouldn't be a ruling elder. If they have a chip on their shoulder about pastors, maybe that person should not be a ruling elder. Ruling elder leaders, will they follow you in recommending that they take the free Christian Leaders Institute class of getting started, or if Christian Leaders offers a elder class, will they take that class? If they don't want to grow and change and be trained, that could be a red flag whether or not they should be a ruling elder. Here's the process of selecting your first ruling elder board. And that's according to the book that we're looking at today. And again, usually it's after a whole year, maybe it's after 2 years into the church planting process. First of all, a letter informing the church that you're planting that you will be appointing the first ruling elder board. Ask everyone to submit names for consideration. Now, if your conviction is that male headship includes the ruling elder board, that's something you want to be very clear about, and then share the scriptures and passage that supports that the ruling elder should be men. So anyway, just know that right up front. Give them 3 weeks to submit names. Communicate what's expected of the board members, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Take the names, you nominate the elders, and you nominate the elder slate. You are the first nominator. Now, what do I mean by that? Is you take all the names, but in a sense, you're that first leader. And you, maybe you and your spouse, are that first leader group, that first leader team. You are the first nominator because you're the pastor. You've heard maybe from other pastors, some possible leaders that have come into your team. Get to know who they are. but you are the first nominator. Consult with the sending leaders if applicable. That's what we talked about earlier. Keep the first board small in number and of those with specific apostolic gifts. In other words, you want the people like Paul who want to keep growing the church. You're not looking for ruling elders who are ruling managers. You're looking for ruling elders who have that apostolic gene in them, that spirit-filled attitude of how do we keep extending and growing. Stagger terms from the beginning with 2-year minimums from the beginning, or it could be 3 years, but the idea here is to stagger these terms right away. Don't add elders too quickly unless needed. So once you've got your group, stay with a small group at first. Make or update the bylaws and consult constitution, I should say, after the selection process. So make and update that bylaws right away. Ask the candidates if they will take the Getting Started class or that elder class if offered at Christian Leaders Institute. If they say no, that is a red flag. Set up a formal meeting with each candidate and their spouse to find out if this is a calling in their life. Find out if they connect to you, your leadership style. You are not looking for yes men. On the other hand, you're looking for positive people. You know, I can look at that too. If I look at the failures of some of the elders that have been in my life when it did not work and it became a problem. And again, I would say over the years, I don't want to make it sound like it's so hard, you should never do it. I've had wonderful leader boards over the years. But where I saw that it didn't work is if somebody did not connect. You know, I'm sort of, and many of you know me now here at Christian Leaders Institute, I'm sort of a positive person who's a little bit, as in America they call it, you know, ADD and high energy. If someone doesn't like that and they don't mesh with that style, I shouldn't have them on my elder board. Now, that doesn't mean that someone who meshes with my style is my yes man. In America, we call a yes man who just says whatever you want to do, and they're not engaging in the discussion. I don't want that kind of person either. I want them to have other thoughts than me, to think differently, to have different temperament, but yet they still connect with my temperament. Number 13, call for a time of prayer after the meeting, and then meet again for any follow-up issues. Number 15, if the interactions are favorable for all parties, ask if you can move forward to make this name known to the congregation. After the process, send a letter out to the congregation. Let them know the names of the elder candidates. Let the congregation contact you or your sending leader if there's a problem with one of the names. Again, you want to really get that first board to be all about what this church plant is about. Send out a final letter listing the names of the candidates and schedule a brief meeting. Invite the attendees to vote for the group, not the individual. You know, this is sort of interesting. Invite those who come to vote for the group, not individuals. The reason this is such a good idea is you don't want to create this place where somebody is rejected. One person's in, one person's out. These are your recommendations. Set up a date for the commissioning, the ordination service. Invite VIP pastors, maybe who are connected to you, your mentor, to participate in the first service. So here's that selection after 1 year or 2 years possibly. You know, that picking of leaders does not have to be negative or a downer. It really, what you're doing is you're part of a process of creating stages for leaders so your church plant can do well.